And greetings, friends. Will Jesus Christ actually come again? I mean, really? Most people simply laugh at the idea of Christ actually returning to this earth in person. But is this really what the Bible says? Are there specific events indicating it will be soon? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World presents Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Roderick C. Meredith asks, will Christ actually come again? And now, Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, events now underway indicate that Christ is coming soon, probably in your lifetime. And if you believe the Bible is truly inspired, you should know that it very clearly states that Christ will come again. Remember, little boy, the first atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima, Japan? Remember the scene of death and destruction that took place? Nothing like this had ever occurred before in human history. But that one event helped mark the beginning of the end of this world's confused civilization. It really did. For Jesus Christ specifically stated that mankind would have the capacity to commit cosmicide, to wipe all human life off this planet. Turn with me to Jesus' direct prophecy in Matthew 24. Matthew 24, verse 3. Get your Bible. Check up on me if you can. Now as he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to Jesus privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be? And what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age?" Notice it was not when Jerusalem was to be destroyed in 70 A.D. It was not to be a few years from now. It was to be the end of the age. That's what Jesus was asked, and that's what he answered. Many scholars, or so-called scholars, professed scholars, try to say he was talking about 70 A.D., when Jerusalem was to be destroyed. No, that was only a minor precursor, a minor type of what's to happen at the end of this age. And so Jesus answered, "Take heed to yourselves that no one deceives you." That's the first thing. There are a lot of deceivers out there. He didn't say one or two off in a cave or yelling from the top of a hill somewhere. Notice, many will come in my name, in Christ's name, Christ is talking, come in his name, Christian leaders and preachers and teachers saying, "I am the Christ." They will tell you about the Christ. They will tell you about little Lord Jesus. They'll talk about Christ. They'll use his name as a cover for their own ideas. They will come in my name saying, "I am the Christ," and will deceive who? A few? No, many. Throughout the Bible, it tells you that the many are going to be deceived. Most of you don't understand that. I didn't used to understand that for the first 19 years of my life and began to understand it later as God called me and opened my mind. The many are to be deceived, and the Bible makes that very clear. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. Yes, they've always been. See that you're not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation. Yes, we've already had normal wars. And then notice here, he repeats himself, or does he? He says kingdom against kingdom. He uses purposely a different Greek word, basileia, which can mean groups of nations. World war. Yes, we entered the era of world war in 1914. A quarter of a century later, in 1939, it resumed again. And now we're waiting for the final war, which is going to take place in the next several years, believe it or not. These things are moving in that direction. Kingdom against kingdom. And there will be famines, there always have been, but he's certainly indicating here and throughout the Bible, horrific famines and disease epidemics. Not just normal, or he wouldn't bother to talk about it. Famines, disease epidemics, or pestilences, and earthquakes, massive earthquakes, horrifying earthquakes in various places. All these are the beginning of sorrows. Yes, the terrible end time tribulation leading into the day of the Lord. And then they will deliver you up to tribulation. God's own people will be persecuted. And the people of Israel, not just the Jews, but all 12 tribes, when you understand, will go into horrible national captivity and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. God's true servants will be hated by all nations. They won't be the great big majority church that everybody's following. They will be the few that have the courage and the understanding to teach the truth. And you have to prove the truth somewhere in your lifetime. And the truth, my friends, is found in this book. It really is. Continuing now, and I want you to think about where we're headed here. Think of the horrific sufferings caused by our current wars. Men are killing, torturing, and maiming each other all over this earth. And certainly it's a terrible thing in the Middle East, Africa, Asia, elsewhere. How will it finally end? Notice verse 21 now of where we were in Matthew 24, verse 21. Then, Jesus said, there will be great tribulation. Yes, this massive tribulation, a horrifying attack on the United States and the British descended peoples and the state of Israel as well, such as has not been since the beginning of the world to this time, no nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. In other words, every human being would be annihilated. When you understand, he's not talking here about spiritual salvation. All flesh would be blasted off this planet. As President Eisenhower told us even back in the 1950s, science seems now ready to confer upon us its final gift, the ability to blast all life or to erase all life from this planet, as he stated it. And that is what we have now and have had. We haven't used it yet, but every terrible weapon that's ever been invented in the history of the world has eventually been used, including the atomic bomb, and now the hydrogen bomb, nerve gases, all kinds of things, chemical warfare, biological weapons have all been invented which could wipe out our entire civilization. Jesus said it would be this way. He said, except those days were shortened, all flesh would be killed, would be saved. No flesh would be saved alive, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. So Jesus said it would occur, but he said he would come again in time to stop it. And you have to understand, Christ will come again. Notice verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light. Stars will fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and so they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, the last trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. And so these things are going to happen. Christ will come again. He says, when you see the fig tree blossoming, you know it's just about here. You know that. And he said, verse 33, when you see these things coming about, obviously, final events, know that it is near at the very doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass unless all these things are fulfilled. Think about it. That's what Christ said, and these things that he talked about are beginning to happen. Small precursors, but they're getting worse and worse each year when you understand prophecy. And it's very exciting, but it's also, of course, traumatic when you understand what's ahead. Now notice what God inspired the prophet Zechariah to write. Zechariah chapter 14, and let's begin reading here in verse 1. Behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst, for I will gather all the nations to battle against Jerusalem. Some small local war? No, a massive war involving virtually every nation on this earth. The city will be taken, the houses rifled, the women ravished. Half of the city will go into captivity. Yes, a divided city will be there at the end. But the remnant of the people will not be cut off from the city. Then the Eternal, or the Lord Jesus Christ, will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. And in that day, his feet will stand on the Mount of Olives. As we'll see later, he's coming again, and he's coming right back to that mountain. I've stood on that mountain. Perhaps you have too, as a tourist. He's coming back to that big hill east of Jerusalem. How could Zechariah, though, have known hundreds of years ago that at the time of the end, our day, that Jerusalem would be a divided city and that half of it could easily be discerned from the other half and have some reason, in a sense, to go into captivity? You know what's over there right now. The Jews and the Arabs are divided and they're fighting one another. So Christ will return directly to Jerusalem. But it will be a divided city. Zechariah knew hundreds of years ago, that is, God knew and prophesied, inspired Jeremiah, or Zechariah, I'm sorry, to write this. Will he then quickly take his saints up to heaven when Christ comes? No, he will not. Notice verse 9. And the Lord shall be king over all the earth. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. Christ will rule on this earth for 1,000 years. The saints will not be whisked off to heaven. So many verses make that very, very clear. Notice verse 16. It shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations, and remember all the nations are going to go up to Jerusalem, which came against Jerusalem, shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. They're going to keep God's festivals at that time. All the peoples of the earth will finally learn God's ways. They will learn. Christ will be here. The true saints will be here. Tomorrow's world will be here that we're talking about. This is real, my friends. It's going to happen. At this point, I invite you to call us or write us immediately to request one of our most popular and powerful booklets we've ever published, 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. This attractive booklet, 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return, will be sent absolutely free upon your request. The booklet, 14 Signs, really spells out specific events to watch for leading up to Christ's return. It will make your newspaper reading and your television news much more meaningful. It really will. For God is specifically intervening and guiding world events far more than most people realize. So call us or write us now to request your free copy of this powerful booklet, 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. Just ask for the booklet on 14 Signs. That's all you need.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Now back to our topic, will Christ actually come again? My friends, we were in Zechariah 14 before the break, so turn there with me to Zechariah chapter 14, verse 9. Jesus said here, or God inspired this through Christ, the Lord shall be king over all the earth. That's right after Christ's return. In that day it shall be the Lord is one and his name one. Christ will return and he will rule on this earth, as it makes very clear in this verse and, frankly, dozens of other verses in your Bible. So your Bible makes this very clear over and over. Christ does not go off to heaven. The saints do not go off to heaven with nothing to do. He comes to this earth and rules on this earth. Turn to Revelation now, the book of Revelation in your New Testament, chapter 19. Revelation chapter 19 and beginning in verse 11. Then I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like a flame of fire. Christ is coming back with great power and majesty. And on his head were crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. The armies in heaven followed him. Out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that he should strike the nations. And notice, he will rule them with a rod of iron. Not rebellious nations up in heaven, obviously, but the nations of this world he will rule with a rod of iron. That should be very clear. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his robe and his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Again, the other scriptures tell you that the true saints will become kings. They will be kings serving under Christ. But he will be the King of Kings over all the other kings on the earth. There will be the government of God, a real new world order, but Christ in charge. Notice chapter 20. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit. So here's a powerful, perhaps super angel, archangel, powerful and more powerful than Satan. And he had on his chain, had a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. Satan has been deceiving the world. He has been bound now, at this point in prophecy, for 1,000 years. And he cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, and set a seal on him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till the 1,000 years were finished. After that, he's loosed a little while. Then John writes about seeing the saints who'd been beheaded for the witness of Jesus. And, of course, they are then resurrected as he talks about them. And they had not received his mark on their heads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. The true saints of God are called to be kings and priests under Christ. They will join Christ in ruling here on earth, my friends, for 1,000 years. That's what it says right here. It says that in your Bible. But so many people say, well, I believe the Bible, but they don't really understand this at all. They're just told to give their heart to Jesus and go back to the church of their choice and sort of be good and sing and clap hands and this kind of thing. They're not taught about the whole purpose of human existence, frankly. They don't know. They don't know they're supposed to prepare to be kings and priests. They don't know they're going to rule over cities and nations. They're not taught about God's laws and God's ways that have to be taught during that time. They just don't know, because Satan has deceived the nations of this world until he's put in that bottomless pit as the 1,000 years begins. He says here in verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Frankly, very few people will have part in the first resurrection when you understand. God grant that you will open your heart, your mind, and begin to respond to what the Bible actually says. Over such the second death has no power, but they, that is these true saints, at Christ's coming, at the first resurrection, they shall be priests of God and of Christ. They're going to be teachers. They're to be kings, we read earlier, but priests teach. They're going to teach the world God's way. And they shall reign or rule with Christ 1,000 years. There it is again. 1,000-year reign of Christ on this earth. This is the true gospel. This is the real good news, the coming kingdom of God that Jesus talks about, that Peter and Paul talked about, that John writes about in the book of Revelation, that the saints of God and the prophets of God all through the Old Testament wrote about again and again. A new world is coming, and God is going to rescue this world from its horrific problems. That is real good news. That is the gospel. Why haven't you been taught this gospel before? What is wrong? Think about it. Let's turn to Acts now. Acts chapter 1. And it says, therefore, when they came together in verse 6, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? You see, they had thought, because of all these prophecies in the Old Testament, that Christ was going to come in power first, and he set up a literal government on this earth, and some of the chief nations of the earth would be the Jews and the Israelites under Jesus Christ. Did Christ say, oh, no, there's nothing like that. The kingdom is just set up in your heart. Or the kingdom is all these different churches with all these different ideas. No, he didn't say that. He could have right here. Why didn't he? They were asking about a literal kingdom. And he said, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own authority. Indicating, yes, there would be a real government, as he says everywhere else in the New Testament. It wasn't just time, and it wasn't time for them to understand exactly when. But we're in the end time when knowledge is to be opened up, as the book of Daniel tells us. And you can understand now. These things are beginning to come together in a powerful way. But you shall receive power, Jesus told them, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you'll be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and all the ends of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they watched, Jesus was taken up in a cloud, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel. And they said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing into heaven? This same Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven, you see, visibly, where they could see, will so come. Christ is coming again. He will come in like manner, visibly, where you can see him as you saw him go to heaven. Notice Luke chapter 21, going back to these prophecies about Christ's return and about the great tribulation just before. Luke chapter 21, beginning in verse 7. And they ask him, saying, Teacher, but when will these things be, and what sign will there be when these things are about to take place? And he said, Take heed that you are not deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, I am he, and the time is drawn near. Therefore do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, verse 9, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately. No, a lot of trouble is going to come first. And so he said, nation will rise against nation, and then kingdom or alliances of nations, world war, and there will be great earthquakes. My friends, people sometimes have to be shaken to their senses to be willing to listen to Almighty God. Turn to Luke chapter 21 and now verse 25. He says, there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on the earth, distress of nations, and we're certainly going into that time, all kinds of nations upset in America and Britain today, and beginnings of wars all over, and perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, massive upsets in the weather, men's hearts fading them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heaven will be shaken. There it is again. A lot of shaking is going to go on to wake people up. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Finally, they'll see after these events, not before. Now, when these things begin to happen, what should you do? These things are going to begin to happen in a small way or already beginning. So what should you do? Look up, lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. It will be traumatic. And you'll hurt for the others around you. If you're being protected, you can have a protection from God if you want. But nevertheless, you can lift up your head because you know God, you're serving God, you'll walk with God, hopefully, and understand and do what God says. You can lift up your heads and because your redemption draws near. You'll know that Christ is that much sooner to coming. And he spoke a parable of the fig tree, and when it's to bud, you know that summer is near. So likewise, verse 31, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things are fulfilled. This generation, think about it. Then he warns us here to watch out and not be taken up with carousing and so on at the time of the end. Verse 36, watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Yes, you have to watch with understanding and with prayer. Again, my friends, be sure to call or write immediately and request your free copy of this vital booklet. This is a powerful booklet. It really spells out things you need to watch, specific things. This booklet, 14 signs announcing Christ's return, really will perk up your newspaper and your television news watching. So call now and request 14 signs announcing Christ's return. Just ask for a free copy of 14 signs.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. Tomorrow's World magazine keeps you up to date with world trends, Bible prophecy, and the very meaning of life itself. Tomorrow's World. Call now.
Finally, my friends, turn with me to Revelation 11 in your Bible. Revelation chapter 11. The first several verses talk about the two witnesses which testify and warn the world during the great tribulation. But turn to verse 13 now. Revelation 11:13. In the same hour, there was a great earthquake, God tells us. Yes, earthquakes are going to increase. And a tenth of the city fell. A tenth of the whole city of Jerusalem. In the earthquake, 7,000 men were killed, and the rest were afraid and gave glory to the God of heaven. And the second war was past. Behold, the third war is coming quickly. Then, notice, verse 15, then the seventh angel, the last trumpet, sounds. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Christ returns to rule, not up in heaven, but over the kingdoms of this world, as it's very clear here. He alone can straighten out the mess here on earth. He alone can bring peace and joy. Let us pray with deep feeling, thy kingdom come. And my friends, be sure to call now and request this powerful and meaningful booklet we've been talking about on this program. Call and request this wonderful booklet, 14 Signs Announcing Christ's Return. And be sure to tune in every single week to Tomorrow's World program, for on this program, and this program alone, you will gain precious information and insights available nowhere else. Richard Ames, John O'Gwen, and I will give you understanding of current events and of the exciting prophecies of tomorrow's world. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 3800, Charlotte, North Carolina, 28227. All the literature offered on today's program can be ordered absolutely free off our website at www.tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program is produced by the Living Church of God.